Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Having moved from a place where there is a lot of water and the possibility of that water wreaking havoc in your life is pretty high, I offer you this story. A fellow was stuck on his rooftop in a flood. He was praying to God for help. Soon a man in a rowboat came by, and the fellow shouted to the man on the roof, "Jump in, I can save you." The stranded fellow shouted back, "No, it's okay. I'm praying to God and he's gonna save me." So the rowboat went on. Then a motorboat came by. The fellow in the motorboat shouted, "Jump in, I can save you." To this, the stranded man said, "No thanks. I'm praying to God and he's gonna save me. I have faith." So the motorboat went on. Then a helicopter came by, and the pilot shouted down, "Grab this rope, and I'll lift you up to safety." To this, the stranded man again replied, "No thanks. I'm praying to God, and he's going to save me. I have faith." So the helicopter guy reluctantly flew off. Soon the water rose above the rooftop, and the man drowned. He went to heaven. He finally got a chance to discuss this whole situation with God, at which point he exclaimed, "I had faith in you, but you didn't save me. You let me drown. I don't understand why." To this, God replied, "I sent you a rowboat and a motorboat and a helicopter. What more did you expect?" Sometimes the challenging things we encounter, as well as the most ordinary and mundane, are the hiding places of God. The Talmud says, "Every blade of grass has an angel that stands over it and whispers, 'Grow, grow.'" In the church, we believe that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who with us are part of that holy mystery, the one we call God. The triune God, the church believes, is a community of life-affirming love. So the good news of God and Christ is that the ordinary circumstances of our lives are simply filled with the holy. Can you perceive it? That God is with us. The stories of Scripture are presented to us so that we might find our own story within them. We just heard a story about Joseph. An ordinary Joe, pun intended, living an ordinary life, engaged to an ordinary girl named Mary. The gospel tells it in such a way that we can hear Joseph's thoughts and know his intentions when faced with a horrifying possibility, that the woman to whom he is engaged has already been sleeping around and is pregnant. Now, faced with what to do, he wrestles with a plan to back out of the wedding without publicly humiliating his fiancée. Is Joseph a man of integrity or a man of foolishness who refuses to obey the law? The Mosaic law, after all, was clear about the case for adultery, and capital punishment was the consequence. And even though by Joseph's time, the rabbinic tradition had mitigated the punishment to be non-lethal, it was still severe and humiliating. What was he to do? The exact words of the text are, "Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly." Righteousness describes Joseph's character. The Greek dikaios, which is translated just. As a man who seeks justice in this difficult situation, knowing what the law says, he chooses another law, a higher law, the law of self-affirming, life-affirming love. In this way, Joseph is actually expressing God, the holy mystery. But even he doesn't yet understand this, because he moves to discreetly disengage from his relationship with Mary. So in this very ordinary but heartbreaking situation of a cheating fiance, Joseph experiences a more explicit manifestation of God. God sends an angel as Joseph lay dreaming to clarify the situation for him and to give him guidance for the road ahead. His fiance has not cheated after all, but she is part of a grand scheme of God's doing. As Joseph, a righteous man who truly seeks the will of God in his own life, he listens to the directives of the angel who was sent. And the story unfolds. Joseph takes on the ordinary role of husband and father and names the baby Jesus, which, by the way, was a very ordinary day in those, ordinary name in those days. It was very common for baby boys to be named Jesus, or a derivative like Joshua. And with Mary, Joseph plays an important role in God's plan for salvation or wholeness or holiness. They all mean the same thing. Joseph's story grants us a profound truth this fourth Sunday of Advent as we continue to wait for the return of Christ. And this is it. All of your life and all of mine, every single ordinary event and circumstance is filled with the possibility of the presence of the holy mystery. That possibility, though, becomes reality if we allow it. And the allowance is a moment-by-moment, step-by-step thing, not a one-shot does all. If we are open, if we are available, if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, if we allow ourselves not to have the last word, if we allow ourselves not to know, if we allow ourselves to let somebody else tell us what we think we know, we can get to cooperate with God to create the possibility of holiness. Holiness is just another word for wholeness. It's what we all seek. Then God shows up all over the place. In this way, we actually live into the truth that God is indeed with us. But I wonder why it's so hard to trust that every moment is sacred. Why is it so hard for us to trust that every moment is holy? Maybe it's because we think too much. Maybe it's because we think our thoughts are real. In other words, there is more to you than your thoughts. Your thoughts are just that, they're thoughts. But they don't define truth, and they don't define reality for that matter. None of our thoughts do. Initially, Joseph decided what to do and then resolved to do it. But his thoughts were not real or true. His availability or openness to God, though, allowed his thoughts to be transformed and corrected to be in alignment with God. And speaking of thoughts, sometimes we think we just gotta continuously think about God for God to be there in a kind of objective way. But constant thoughts of God, or thoughts that are not about God, don't affect ultimate reality. If it did, it wouldn't be ultimate reality. It'd be about us and not about God. Lastly, we find it hard to believe that every moment is sacred because of our mountain of fear. We're so afraid of life as it is and the way it presents itself to us right now. As a community, as a nation, as a world, we are scared. We suffer such high levels of anxiety, discouragement, and depression. I'm not telling you something you don't already know. And although we're not alone, we feel powerless before the principalities and powers of the darkness in this age. My sisters and brothers in Christ, you are not powerless to the forces that feel uncontrollable and unconquerable. In fact, you are more than a conqueror through him who loves us. You are more powerful than you can ever imagine because of the gift of the Holy Spirit of God who is within you. Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection have reclaimed for creation the power of life-affirming love. And if you can receive it, it is the power of the Big Bang from the beginning of the cosmos 13.8 billion years ago. It is the power of the resurrection of a dead man back to life. It is the power that encircles and encompasses all the Alcoholics Anonymous meetings you've ever attended or any other 12-step program. It will be the same power at the end of the ages when Christ returns. It is the power of love that casts out even fear. Joseph's story invites us into prayer as we continue to wait. The invitation is to pray for new sight so that we can see God in places we never expected. And as your prayers are answered, and they will be, you will begin to see the divine presence all over the place. Life will become filled with amazement and wonder for you. And for those who live in places of amazement and wonder, like the children, God's already there. God isn't just up there or down there. God is down here and in us too. Jesus Christ has done that for us. United, spirit and matter. Let's open our eyes and see. Let's still our minds and our mouths and hear. Let us move into this week of celebration and anticipation of Christ's return with a whole new understanding of incarnation's meaning. Y'all, God really is with us. Amen.